testimony. Be light, and God may give you opportunities, unusual opportunities. People are looking for answers. Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, and let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, as we look into your word today, Lord, give us understanding, and Lord, help us as we grow in our knowledge of you, to grow in our trust of you, in our love of you, and Lord, that we might walk by faith, and that we might be faithful to the faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we finished up chapter 6, kind of coming down through the end of that chapter. And we were looking at the apostle as he's writing to these people. He wants to encourage them. He'd given them a strong warning, but he wanted to encourage them in God's faithfulness. And he gave them the example there of Abraham and of God making a promise to Abraham and an oath to bless Abraham. And you know, there the encouragement to these people to be faithful, to endure. And the oath that was given to Abraham, you know, God had promised him, and he'd promised him to make him, you know, a great nation. And all of this. I mean, he's picking up kind of where he left off, the end of chapter Hebrews 7. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, used to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and within, and which entereth into that within the veil. What is he speaking? He is speaking of the tabernacle. He's speaking of that veil that divided the rest of the tabernacle from the Holy of Holies, the most holy place where it was the Ark of the Covenant, and there God chose to place his presence. In that particular place, the high priest could only go once a year to offer the atonement for the people. Yet this hope that we have enters into the very presence of God, whither the forerunner is for us entered. Who is that? It's Jesus Christ. Even excellence, the superiority of the priesthood of Christ, by comparing it to the Levitical priesthood. Remember, he's writing to Hebrews, and they were well-versed and understood quite well the Levitical priesthood. It was there, really, the central government of the Jews was the priest, the tabernacle. And here, to do this, the author here goes directly to Psalm 110 and verse 4. That is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose name is mentioned in Psalm 110, verse 4. And then he's mentioned here in the book of Hebrews. The only other place, though, is in Genesis chapter 14. And so I want you to turn back with me to Genesis chapter 14. And let's see what the scripture tells us concerning this individual, Melchizedek. Of course, the writer of Hebrews tells us that Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings, and there in chapter 14, there was these kings that had rebelled and had gone to battle. And in the process of this battle, the king of Sodom was overrun. All the people of Sodom were carried captive, and all their wealth. I mean, even Abraham was there. The king of Jerusalem is interesting about this, the tithe. Where do we see the tithe come into play? Well, the tithe, that's part of the Levitical law when Moses gave the law to the people. The priests were supported, or the Levites were supported by the tithe. If you go back into Numbers, and you go back into those passages in Exodus where God is giving Moses the command concerning his people, we learn some things about the tribe of Levi. If you look in the back of your Bible and you have one of those little color maps that shows the tribes where they list, you know, where they lived and their areas, you'll see theophany. What's a theophany? It's an Old Testament, a pre-incarnate appearance of God in human form. So maybe Melchizedek was God come down and disguised as a man speaking there to Abraham, but it really was God. The understanding of this passage is to recognize the apostle is speaking of Melchizedek as a priest. As a priest. And what is the significance of that? Well, as a priest, Melchizedek has no listed genealogy. He is a priest of the Most High, a king priest. He has no listed genealogy. May I ask you a question? How important is genealogies? How many of you ever read the Bible? Anybody ever read the Bible through? Aren't the genealogies the funnest part? Who begat, who begat, who begat, who begat. And of course, you're reading and your eyes see the words, but you have no idea how to pronounce those names. And what really makes, what sets out apart pastors from the rest of people is that we can actually read those names. That is a spiritual gift. An ending. It was not a lifetime of service. It was a limited amount of service. Now, so priests served in a limited aspect. Melchizedek's priesthood. Passage, we've looked at the first three verses. Let's drop down to verse 4. Hebrews 7, verse 4. Now consider how great this man was. What man are we speaking of? We're speaking of Melchizedek. If you haven't caught on by now, Melchizedek was an actual man who lived. He is a type of Christ, but he was not an Old Testament appearance of God. He was not an angel. He was not the Holy Ghost. He was a man who lived. He was a contemporary of Abraham. Now consider how great this man was unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. So again, here he is delineating what happened. Abraham recognizes Melchizedek. What is he? He is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And I mean, I wish I could just we could just dump all of this on you right now so you get this full understanding, because Jesus for the Jews. You mean that whole Levitical system and everything about it into which they put so much stock, that's just the shadow. You think about it. You walk out on a nice sunny day like today, either early in the morning, in the afternoon, and there's this long shadow. Oh, of course, in verse 16, verse 15 and 16, and yet it is far more evident. For after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, not after the Mosaic law, but after the power of an endless life. Wow. He's going to talk about how those priests, they just kind of one word after another, they off the scene, got to be replaced. It's like in a new set of tires, they just wear out, they die. And we need to remember, though, who is he writing to? Yes, it's for us, but he's writing to Hebrew believers. And put yourself in their position. Here they're hearing this about Jesus, and they're weighing this out with their traditions, with the carnal commandment, the law of Moses. But here's someone who is far superior. This is the shadow. Jesus is the reality. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage here before us today. Lord, help us as we go through this. Lord, that we would be able to bear in mind and to keep the overarching theme here that Jesus is our superior high priest. And Lord, help us to be able to follow these arguments, these statements that are made concerning the Levitical priesthood, concerning Melchizedek, so that we can see this main point. Lord, we thank you for your plan. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the reality, who has entered into the very presence of God for us. And Lord, now we have that great consolation, that great hope, which is sure and steadfast. And Lord, because of this hope that we have, help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful to the faith. Lord, help us to be faithful until death. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.